here is a reminder, you have about a week to take advantage of this application deadline. It has been extended. FEMA has extended this application deadline for South Carolinians affected by Hurricane Helene. We're excited to have a representative from FEMA joining us here live in the studio. Nikki Gaskins Campbell is a media relations specialist for FEMA. She's here to kind of, again, educate all of us in our listening area about what we need to do if we receive some damage during Hurricane Helene, how to take advantage of funds that are possible right there for you. So let's welcome Nikki to Palmetto Mornings. And good morning to you, Nikki.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
So FEMA extended the application deadline. It has now been extended to January 28th. So that's about a week.
Yeah, it's coming up quickly. Initially, it was supposed to be January 7th, but the state requested the extension. That extension was approved. And here we are just a few days away from the registration deadline. And so we just want to use this opportunity to remind people that even though it's been several months, I can tell you I've been traveling all over the state of South Carolina. And as I told you earlier, and Georgia, the cleanup continues, unfortunately. Recovery is never a sprint. Unfortunately, it is a marathon. And so people in the state of South Carolina and your viewing area should be mindful that January 28th is less than a week away. So if you have not reached out to FEMA, please do so because you could be leaving money on the table.
Nikki, tell us what people need to do if they are really clueless in what to do and how to get started. How do they reach out to you and what does this process look like?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to reach out to us, but we just want people to hopefully at this stage in the disaster, they have continued the cleanup process. I advise people to keep all your receipts that have been used as part of your recovery. Take photos, videos, all of that is going to be so helpful for when you do decide to reach out to FEMA. There's a couple of ways to do that. We do have disaster recovery centers in the state of South Carolina. They're mainly situated in the upstate. We do have some in Chester County. We don't have any in York County, but we do have some in the upstate. And my advice is if you would like to find a disaster recovery center, because we have FEMA representatives there who will guide you step by step through the application process, you can go to FEMA.gov/DRC. Again, that's FEMA.gov/DRC. And we will be happy to meet with you face to face. No appointment is necessary. No ID is necessary to walk. You just walk right on in and we will be happy to serve you, answer any questions about the recovery process. Also, you can go to disasterassistance.gov to start the application process if you want to be that independent person to do that. Also, people can call us at 1-800-621-3362. Again, that's 1-800-621-3362. And a FEMA representative can help you through the application process that way.
Those who are eligible for FEMA assistance in our listening area include Chester County, York County, and the Catawba Nation. So at this point, Nikki, folks should know if they receive damage from Hurricane Helene. How do you weigh in or navigate the discussion where someone said, yeah, I think this tree came down during Hurricane Helene. I'm not really sure. How do you have that conversation with someone? Because you want to be there to help, but you also know people take advantage of the system.
We also want to manage expectations because, as you may know, there's a lot of people that don't realize what people do and they take what they see on social media, and not knocking you guys, but sometimes in the news, they don't help manage expectations. And I say this as a news person myself who comes from that world. So we do our best, and I appreciate platforms like this to come out and try to manage expectations. We're really focused on your primary residence. We want to make sure that disaster survivor has a roof over their head, because when they do, they can continue the recovery process. We are focused on mainly short-term, your short-term needs. We are not a supplement or a substitute for your insurance. That will always be your first line of defense. But some people do ask, well, how do I know if FEMA may help me? If you live in one of those counties in Catawba Nation, like you mentioned, and you suffer damage to your primary residence, it can't be a vacation home, it can't be a rental property, or a garage converted into a home. It has to be your primary residence, and you suffer damage to that primary residence. You may, that is the key word, be eligible for disaster assistance. And I say may because it's going to hinge on if you have insurance and what your insurance is going to cover. When you do decide to reach out to FEMA, we'll want to know what your insurance is going to cover before we decide what assistance we may be able to cover, because by law, we cannot duplicate Medicaid insurance payments. So say, for example, and I've seen this all in the state of South Carolina, as well as on my travels in Georgia, because like I said, I'm covering both states. When I've done a lot of traveling, and to this day, I still see a lot of tarps up and a lot of damage to roofs. In the event that you reach out to your insurance and your insurance agrees to pay for the damages to your roof, you can't then say, okay, this insurance company of mine is going to give me money to fix this roof, repair this roof. I'm going to now see what I can get from FEMA to also help. By law, we cannot duplicate insurance payments. So you can't double dip, essentially. So that's important. Where we come in is if your insurance doesn't cover everything, because maybe you are underinsured. A lot of folks are, unfortunately. Some people, yes, we do realize, don't have insurance because maybe it is an inherited property where there is no mortgage, so they're not required to have insurance. But for those who are underinsured or uninsured, we still encourage them to reach out to us because they could be leaving money on the table.
Another fact versus myth discussion that you've had folks mention to you before is, I think I make too much money. I won't qualify, so I'm not going to reach out to FEMA.
Yeah, so the good news is your income is not dependent on if we help you or not. It doesn't matter if you make $100,000 or significantly less than that. We don't consider that as a consideration. And any assistance that you may get from FEMA does not affect any federal benefits that you may receive. And also, if you do get help from FEMA, it is not considered taxable income. This money, and we've heard this, this goes back to the slew of misinformation that's out there, especially we heard this in the disaster recovery. We heard that people say, I'm going to have to pay back this FEMA money. That is not true. This is grant money that is designed to be used for your recovery. So we want people to be mindful. This is not a loan. It is grant money, but it must be used for your recovery. You cannot get money from FEMA and then decide, okay, I got this money. I'm going to go on a cruise. I'm going to go buy a big screen TV. You have to use it for your recovery.
Do you have to prove that you're using it for your recovery?
It's advised that you keep, you keep any documentation with you on how you spent the money for the next several years. Keep those records just like you would taxes, because if you go on Mr. Google, you can find cases where people have misused the funds for FEMA and they've gotten in trouble. So just again, that's why I can't say it enough. Please use the money for your recovery. This is why we're here. We're here to help you get back on your feet, but you have to use the money in the way that it was designed to be used.
If someone is denied that they're going to get help or receive funds from FEMA, is that something that you can appeal, or is that the final decision?
Yeah, you can. And I want to make it clear that, you know, especially early on in disaster, people are quick to reach out to FEMA, but they don't always supply all the information for us to make an informed decision. So when they get a letter from FEMA that says either a denial, and I don't call it denial. We don't call it denial because they just see that, I'm not getting the money that I thought it was, or I'm not getting any money right now. A denial is not necessarily denial. It may simply mean that we need other information to make a full, well-informed decision about any assistance available. Obviously we're going to need to prove, while it is not a requirement if you go to a disaster recovery center, while you don't need to bring any form of ID or make an appointment, if you do decide to go and apply for FEMA, we're going to obviously want to be able to prove you are who you say you are. You are the homeowner. You are the renter. And a Social Security card would be something beneficial to have on hand to prove who you are. Also, if you are a renter, bring your lease, a deed, if you're a homeowner, something that proves you are that occupant, the primary resident. So those are some things to keep in mind.
Nikki Gaskins Campbell is a media relations specialist for FEMA. She's here in the studio because FEMA has extended the application deadline for South Carolinians affected by Hurricane Helene. You have until January the 28th to apply for assistance. Nikki went through earlier in the interview. There are different ways where you can go and apply. You can do it online, you can do it through an app, or you can show up in person or make a phone call. For those in our listening area, those that can apply for FEMA assistance include Chester County, York County, and the Catawba Nation. And once again, we want to make sure people understand, and Nikki did a great job explaining it to us, if you received 100% of the funds from your insurance company and you're thinking, gosh, what else can I get? That does not work like that.
No, and again, going back to managing expectations, because social media does not help us do that sometimes, especially with when Helene came through. I do want to say FEMA is a piece of the puzzle, but we are certainly not the entire piece. It takes the state, it takes the local officials, your nonprofits, houses of worship, other federal partners like the Small Business Administration, because they also help homeowners and renters. All of us working collectively together to help disaster survivors on their road to recovery.
And keep in mind, they might need to get in contact with you via your phone. And like a lot of us, if we do not recognize the number, we will not pick up. So you might get a call from FEMA, and it's obviously an unfamiliar phone number. So just be mindful if you're waiting on a call from FEMA and a strange number pops up on your phone.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, let me try to get this. So
yeah,
kind of keep that in mind. Nikki, thanks so much for helping our audience navigate these questions. And of course, there are so many different ways that you can follow up and get more information. But we appreciate your expertise and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.